Good afternoon, everyone. Pretty good. All right. All right, to mix things up, I tried this once before, and I'm going to try it again. Could everyone stand up? Now, my victims. If you would move forward, kind of all spaced out, into pews and sit next to people, I think you're going to have a better worship experience as you sing together, sit in silence together. So I encourage you to move forward, because we have a little few numbers here, and sit next to someone, maybe someone you don't know. Give them a handshake, a hello. Oh, this is good. Great. Make yourselves comfortable. It's a good day to be alive. Fabulous. All right. It is wonderful to be with you this afternoon, and now I can all see you better, too. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting us for the very first time. We are glad that you're here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you find and keep your balance, a place that nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of integrity, service, and joy. Following the service, you're invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There, you can meet friends new and old, visit our book stall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member here at Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Our children's library and Anderson Library are also open after every service and available to you. The libraries are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. And unfortunately, our musician for today, Katie Taylor, came down with laryngitis yesterday and cannot join us today. So we'll look forward to hearing her gift of music at another time. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity, the colorful insert in your order of worship. It serves as a guide and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at the church. In particular, I draw your attention to Wellspring Wednesday. We only have two more Wellspring Wednesdays left in this church year as we are in our final stretch here of programming, and this is one not to miss. As always, dinner's at 6, worship at 6:45, and programming begins at 7:15, and we have a rich array of programming this week. Our Mano a Mano team brings us journalist Mary Stuckey, who will give her lecture live from Bolivia. We will also feature Sami Razuli, an Iraqi American who grew up in Najaf, and the founder of the Muslim Peacekeeper Team movement. In addition, the Unity Men's Group will meet as well, and they're going to a Twins game this Thursday. Please see Sabbatical Minister Justin Schroeder for more information. Additionally, we were honored to have the Minnesota Boys Choir here with us this morning, and they will be here on Saturday, so you folks can get a chance to see them in concert this Saturday, May 19th at 7:30. On Thursday, May 17th at 7 o'clock in Ames Chapel, Unity member Grant Wacker will offer a class on legacy, focusing on ethical wills. This is open to everyone here in the church community and friends of the church. Please see your insert for more information. And we received 342 annual congregational surveys, so thank you so much, those of you who took the time to give us this much needed feedback. And now you have another exciting opportunity. And you are the prime audience, the 430 survey. We want to make this service serve our community well, reflect your needs and hopes. So please take a few minutes. It's very short. Fill this out, drop it off at the welcome table, and you'll get a free Unity t-shirt. Next Sunday, our former intern, Katie Lawson, will lead our service titled False Idols and Feeling Good. She will be joined by worship associate Leo Rivamonte. We will celebrate our annual flower communion, so don't forget your flowers. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 4:30. And finally, at the conclusion of our worship today, worship associate Neely Crane-Smith and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors just out there. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
For the beauty of the earth, this spinning blue-green ball, yes. Gaia, mother of everything, we walk gently across your back to come together again in this place, to remember how we can live, to remember who we are, to create how we will be. Gaia, our home, the lap in which we live, welcome us. Come, let us worship together. Responsibly, number 715 in the back of your hymnal. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts.
You may cross their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell on the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, even in your dreams.
You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday.
You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth.
The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with might that the arrows may go swift and far.
Let your bending in the archer's hand be for us.
Thank you.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and those unseen, for those who live with addiction, for those who live with mental illness, for those who care for family members in ill health, and for those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Benjamin Cassidy, son of Mary Zann Miller and Leo Cassidy. Benjamin was only 31 years old, and he died Wednesday evening of complications from liver failure. He was surrounded by family. We extend our embrace to his mother, Mary, his brothers, Jacob and Isaac, and to all of Benjamin's family as they grieve this difficult loss. We grieve the death of Susan Sternfels as we remember and honor her life. Susan died Thursday afternoon of brain cancer. We hold her children, Lila and Josh, in our hearts as they grieve a difficult loss. Susan's memorial will be here at the church on Friday at 2:30. We continue to send our prayers and our love to Pat Argyros, who continues to recover from a fractured rib and vertebra following a recent fall. We pray for her comfort and for her healing. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. We pray on this Mother's Day for our Mother Earth, who sustains us all and is in great peril. May we have the courage to care for her as she cares for us. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Please join me in prayer. Mother God, Spirit of Life, we are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. We are all children of mothers. Some of us are mothers. But we are all called to care for one another. On this Mother's Day, we ask you for patience of mind and energy of body to care for ourselves as we care for others. Mother Goddess, we ask that you nurture us when we are weary and comfort us when we are afraid. Grant our hearts understanding and our minds wisdom. May we be people of integrity and kindness. For the world is in great need of these things. Today we give thanks for our very life. We give thanks for the woman who gave us life. And may we express this deep gratitude by rejoicing in this spring day. For life goes not backward nor tarries with yesterday. Truly, it is good to be alive. Amen. I now invite Carrie Meyer, our Director of Religious Education, and our high school seniors who will be participating in today's bridging ceremony to come forward to the chancel, please.
We have a great class of seniors, and four of them are here with us, and we invite you one more time to come and stand in the chancel, and you may have flashbacks to moments when you sat here on the steps and listened to children's sermons, maybe to the moment when you stood up here when you were coming of age. So we want you to stand here with us in the church that is your home, whether you grew up here, whether you can remember the first time you walked through the doors, or whether you were here before you were born, this is your church. And we want this church to be one side of the bridge that will cross over this river that you're about to forge into your new life. And in that life, we hope that there will be a church just like this, because the time is so close when we're about ready to let go of the bowstring and let you fly like living arrows into the world. And we trust completely that you will hit your mark. And so we invite you now to step forward one by one. And if you would, please share with the congregation your name, what you've been doing in high school that has made you the happiest or the most proud, a memory from your time here at Unity, and then tell us what's next. Nick, would you like to start?
Hi, I'm Nick. High school, I guess I'm most proud of, I was in every play that I could have been there, and I learned French. Best Unity memory, I guess, was the Boston trip this year. It was a great trip. We did our pilgrimage to Walden Pond and to churches and just great places in Boston and Concord. And what's next? I'm going to McAllister College next year, and I'll keep learning French, and I have to pick a major at some point. Yeah, that's all.
Excellent. Thanks, Nick. Erin.
I'm Erin, and in high school, I'm proud of the fact that I have or the relationships that I've made and the connections that I've made with my classmates I'm proud of, and that I have done a wide variety of different things. My favorite memories at Unity were the Romania trip in 2001 and the New Orleans trip this year that I went on. And next year I'm going to Carleton College.
Thanks, Erin.
I'm also Nick, so not the same person, but the same first name. In high school, I one of the big things that stood out from my experience in high school has been my experience with the math team. This year has been an especially awesome year. We took the state championship and had a lot of fun doing so, a lot of practices, a lot of bonding. But I think what I'm most proud of in high school has been just like stepping outside of it and watching myself develop. I feel like I've really come a long way as far as leadership and as far as learning to have fun. You know, that homework's important, but so is the rest of life. And so, you know, I honestly, the people in Unity, you know, my attendance has been kind of on and off, but I do feel that I've learned a lot from some of the people that I've spent time with at Unity as far as having fun. One of my best memories comes from one of the retreats we took, I believe it was sophomore year. And just, we got to stay at a cabin, stayed up really late, talking about whatever came up, high school life, drama, you know, just anything that we thought of. We stayed up late, we bonded, and we got to know each other, and that was a really great experience. I don't know where I'm going to school next year. I'm deciding between Yale University and Williams College. But I intend to major in math, and I intend to have a lot of fun while doing it. So.
Thanks, Nick. Laura.
I'm Laura. In high school, I'm probably just proud that I got through it. And, you know, a lot of good character building went on. You know, great, great soul deepening suffering, you know, it's pretty good. you know. And favorite memory of church, I kind of liked a lot of the things that just went on here, like not the big cool trips to other places, but I really liked just, you know, the lock-ins where we just stay all night and then eat a quarter of a container of dry lemonade, you know, and just weird things like that. I mean, and next year I'm going to Agnes Scott College in Atlanta, and I hope to get through that too.
Thank you to all four of you. It's a blessing to have you here. And with those of you, the bow from whence these arrows will fly, who feel right now the pressure of the archer's hand, would you please rise and join with us in the litany of letting go and hanging on to heartstrings? Would you please stand? You can all stand.
Yeah, you can all stand. We all have a part here.
And then your script is right here.
You who are bridging today have grown beyond what you once were. With each new day and each new experience, you will learn more about yourself, your world, and your faith. Your past will serve you well on your journey. This morning, we bless you. This afternoon, we bless you too. And we honor you at this transforming time in your lives.
We honor the gifts you have brought to the youth community and the sorrow we feel at this parting. We bless you now as we give you over to your future, and we pledge our support as you grow into it. We honor you at this transforming time.
You can be anyone. want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. There are girls who grow up strong and bold. There are boys quiet and kind. Some race on ahead, some follow behind. Some grow in their own space and time. Some women love women, some men love men. Some raise children and some never do. You can dream all the day without reaching the end of everything possible for you. Don't be rattled by names, by taunts, by games, but seek out spirits true. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you choose. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done.
Thank you for being with us now and all this time. And wherever you go, we will love you still. And we invite all of you to join us for a reception afterwards if you'd like to be able to talk with them and ask them more about where they've been and where they're going. And now, I get to share with you the fact that today is the last day of religious education. And today is the day when we take a moment to appreciate the people who have been with us as teachers. And in exchange for all of their love and time and energy and patience and dreams and sense of humor, typically we offer them a flower and we call it even. And looking out, I see that we don't have any of our youngest with us today, but we've talked about the possibility that kids and flowers are incredibly similar. And if you ask a child what a flower needs in order to grow, they have the list like that. They know that a flower needs water and soil and air and sun. And if you ask a child if they're growing, they know for sure that they are. Their bodies are growing, their minds are growing, their spirits are growing. And if you ask a child, what do you need to grow? They have a pretty good list for that too. They need food and water and a house and some toys, and they need love. And yeah, whether they like it or not, they need a lot of teachers. And like flowers, with all the things that they need, kids will grow. But there are some differences in that
if I wanted to grow this flat of some 8 dozen flowers, the rain doesn't have to decide to fall on the flowers. But the people who teach have to choose to help children grow. And if you ask a child, if I want to raise 100 flowers, do I need 100 suns to shine on them? And they'll shake their heads, no, you don't need 100 suns. But to raise the 423 children and youth who are part of our community here at Unity Church Unitarian, one person can't do it all. It's the work of an entire village. And to raise the 423 souls that we have amongst us, it takes 130 teachers who volunteer their love and their time throughout the year. And I think that we have a couple of those teachers with us today. Even if they're from the other services, they can stand. I have flowers for you. If you would please stand and be acknowledged, I'd love to present you with the fair trade of a beautiful flower. Would you stand if you're one of our volunteer teachers? And like flowers, sometimes when you nurture things that grow, you get to see blooms right away. And the blooms that we've seen right away this past year are perhaps, amongst other things, an appreciation for the mystery that is God, an acknowledgement of the human capacity for both goodness and evil, a cherishing of friendship, which is the initial bond of community, an approach to spiritual practice that might last them the rest of their lives, and a taste of what it means to grieve, to mourn after death has come into our lives. So those are some of the blossoms that we've seen come into the lives of our children, whom we've nurtured this year. But we know that when we are teachers, we're sowing seeds that will become a harvest that we will never reap, and a garden that we will never visit, not even in our dreams. And so we know that the kids of Unity Church will go on to grow and to bloom elsewhere in the world. And I'd like to, when I speak these names, I tell you it's almost like a prayer. I'd like to speak the names of the people who have taught at this 4:30 service, which has been such a new journey for our church. With our preschoolers, we've had Karen Hagard and Joanne Daddy and Marty Rossman in our Spirit Play classrooms. As our journey guides for our elementary school children, we've had Bob Utke and Gretchen Olson. And as our workshop teachers, we've had Mary Kay Litzau and Barbara Skoglund and Rob Fulton and Cynthia Mills and Deanna Kramer and Jerry Kedinen. And with our junior high kids, we've had Lynn Burton. And so we thank them for their very new ministry here at the church. If you see them this Sunday or next or one after that, I encourage you to hold them in your arms. They've done the work that we promised to do to every child when they are dedicated in this church. And so they fulfill our promise of a ministry. So I thank you all for being here and for acknowledging the teachers who are with us. And if you'd like to write a special note to someone who has taught outside in the cloister, there are hearts with the names of all 130 people who have been volunteers. You can jot them a little note and we'll send those out in the mail. So thank you, and may the garden that is miracle bloom for this church for a long, long time to come.
Those of you who have been worshiping with us for a while know that our offering goes out the door and into the world to help agencies who live out the values that we share here in our church. Today, our offering will go to Mano a Mano. They provide much-needed medical resources and supplies to rural Bolivia. In particular today, we remember all of the women and babies whose lives have been and will be saved by the good work of Mano a Mano. It is a blessing that everyone here in this sanctuary survive their infancy, and that the mothers here survive their labor and their pregnancy. May we share from the wealth of our resources to provide this gift of life and medical service to our friends in Bolivia. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, we dedicate this, our offering. May it be a blessing to those who receive it and a blessing to those who give it.
Lessons. She carried me for 9 months and fed me from her body. This taught me about flesh and the physical world. She let me pick out my clothes and read whatever I wanted. This taught me about choice and freedom. She took me to church and showed me the sun salutation. This taught me about faith and witness. She fought with me and showed me her weaknesses. This taught me about compromise and forgiveness. She comforts me when I am selfish and abrasive. This taught me about love and friendship. She has a name of her own, but she gave it up. For me, she will always be Mom.
When I call my mother on Mother's Day, I thank her again for making me, and for lamb chops, for smocked dresses, for Buster Brown Mary Janes, my metatarsals blue in the radiation box. She laughs. She loves this. She says, I hope you haven't forgotten that I peeled you grapes when you were sick.
You what?
When you were sick, I would give you a bowl of peeled, chilled grapes.
She giggles.
I cannot see it, my mother, giving me a cold bowl of eyeball glitter.
And then I can see it.
It is a Pyrex dish. There is chill and light and time and work all over the place. Ovals of pallid mesh flay to cheer me up. Her labor turn to my little joy. It is true she tied me to a chair one day, but she brought me alphabet soup. It is true she was hairbrush wild and lay on top of my poor Dottie's soul for me to pray for her while she cried on me. But my mother, with her long and tranced erotic fingernails, peeled grapes for me. She did not mean it, but she said it. Be yourself.
Thank you.
A little boy forgot his lines in his RE presentation. His mother was in the first row to prompt him. She gestured, and she formed the word silently with her lips. But it didn't help. Her son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue. I am the light of the world. The child beamed, and with great feeling in a loud, clear voice, he said, my mother is the light of the world. It would seem that this child's mother would be the kind of mom who, like the mom in Sharon Olds' poem, would peel grapes for him or let him pick out his clothes and read whatever he wanted. I've had my share of sweet memories of my own mom. Like on my 6th birthday, she took me to the mall and let me go into any store I wanted, and I could look and touch as long as I wanted. At the toy store, I picked out a miniature tea set that day. Mother's Day is rightfully rife with sweetness, yet it has its share of saccharine sentimentality. If you walked through Walgreens in the last month, you couldn't have missed the entire aisle of bright pink hearts with glitter and ribbon. The holiday that began in 1870 in Boston by Unitarian Julia Ward Howe as a woman's call for pacifism and disarmament has evolved since then. By all appearances, today it seems like a holiday started by the greeting card industry. But at its best, it's a time we can reflect upon the woman who gave us birth, the parents who raised us, those who care for us today, and our ability to care for others. The mother-child relationship is complex. After that part about peeling the grape, Sharon Olds said, it's true she tied me to a chair one day, but she brought me alphabet soup. Love mingles with anger, desperation pairs with patience. Not everyone's mother peeled grapes for them. While some mothers are nurturing, some are stifling. Many are both. Linguistics professor Deborah Tannen wrote a book about the mother-daughter relationship. She describes this scene. Lorraine was spending a week visiting her mother, who lived in a senior living complex. One evening, they were about to go down to dinner in the dining room. As Lorraine headed for the door, her mother hesitated. Scanning her daughter from head to toe, she asked, you're not gonna wear that, are you? Why not? Lorraine asked, her blood pressure rising. What's wrong with it? Well, people tend to dress nicely for dinner here, that's all, her mother explained. Why do you always disapprove of my clothes? She asked. I don't disapprove, I just thought you might want to wear something else. The words are loaded. There are years of history, of tension, of hope, care, and control wrapped up here. It's what psychologist Denise McGregor calls mama drama. In her book of the same title, McGregor quotes women who are actively engaged in mama drama. And one woman muses that the first female U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor probably has a mother who said, you're going to wear that? I never liked black on you. Our mothers are imperfect people, and so are we. We all miss the mark somehow. While we celebrate the joys of motherhood today, this Mother's Day, we recognize that even the best mother-child relationship is a dance, pushing and pulling, control and freedom. Some mothers always loved us. Some didn't know how. While some mothers are our best friends, some mothers we never met. Our stories of having mothers, and for some of us, being mothers, are unique to each of us. A couple of weeks ago, the elder group here at Unity came together to reflect on their mothers, and for many of the participants to reflect on being parents and grandparents themselves. Here's some of what they shared. My mother had 4 boys, but she always wanted a girl who she'd call Nancy. Later, she became a house mother in a sorority and helped the girls do their hair and pick what to wear on dates. I didn't have a great connection with my mom. I love intergenerational events here at the church. I meet older women who are mothers to me. I work in a medical clinic where people are unexpectedly going to be mothers. The role of mother is around all the time. Our world does not think enough of mothers. I didn't enjoy being a mother. My mother was only 55 when Daddy died. After a few years, she was terribly lonely. She started meeting with other women in the same fix, and they made hook rugs together, and they talked. They needed a name for their group. They were very proper Southern ladies who unwittingly called themselves the Hookers. I'm a good enough mother. I can be counted on to listen and care, holding up a realistic mirror rather than a funhouse mirror. My mom and dad had trouble making enough money at the mill, barely enough for food and rent. We had lots of freedom. I loved to play with the jets on the gas stove. I turned out to be a pretty good father. My greatest achievement as a mother was breaking the chain of intergenerational alcoholism. My daughter didn't get it from me, but she's a world-class mother. My mother tried to make up for a complete lack of nurturing. Instead, she did things she knew how to do. We had a loving relationship around food and money. These were substitutes for what I really needed. She still comes to my house and gives me money. I don't need any more. Being a grandparent is such an opportunity to get it right. Another aspect of mom was that when she was soft and kind, and she liked to feed me, of course. If I wasn't home when I got back from school, there'd be a pie baked with a note saying to have a piece of pie. My mother always saw something wrong with us as kids, but my grandmother was always glad to see me. As I became an adult, I had a power struggle with my mother. She wanted to make me into an upper-class matron whose primary purpose was to entertain. I went into therapy about my mother. When I was 3, my mother died, and I went to live with my grandparents. It wasn't until high school that I was living pretty much on my own, and I realized how much I missed not having a mother. Then, in turn, I had 4 sons. One of my sons had a friend who spent so much time at our house while they were growing up. He's in his 50s now, and he sends me notes saying how much he loved being with us. Mothering never stops. I had questions. My mother never had time. On Mother's Day, we used to wear white carnations if our mother had died, red if she was alive. Mother's Day was so hard. I was the only one in school with a white carnation. My mother wrote a letter to my sister and me to be opened after she died. It said, "Please go back to your own Methodist church." My daughter asked, "How did you know how to raise us?" I went back to my memories and I tried to do better. All we want is love. These stories of joy and pain show us that mothers are people too. And as Irma Bombeck writes, mothers are not the nameless, faceless stereotypes that appear once a year on a greeting card with their virtues set to prose, but women who have been dealt a hand for life, and they play each card one at a time, the best they know how. No mother is all good or all bad, all laughing or all serious, all loving or all angry. Ambivalence runs through their veins. We are all complex, and so is Mother's Day. There are some women who choose not to be mothers, some women who would like to be biological mothers but can't. There are families with 2 mothers. There are mothers who made the difficult decision to place their child for adoption. Some women have made the tough decision to end a pregnancy. Some mothers have waited their whole lives to become a mom. Some of us lost our mothers too young. Some of us never met our mother. Some of us never had a mother at all. And yet, a woman gave birth to each of us, and today all mothers should be remembered, if not honored. We come to church to affirm that despite our brokenness and our failings, life is worth living. That life is good. We are always in relationship with our mothers, even if we've never met them, even if they have died. As people of faith, we believe that forgiveness and redemption in our relationships is always possible and is always important, no matter if we wear very different clothes. If our mothers are alive, we can try to be in right relationship with them. If our mothers have died, we can try to be in right relationship with their memories. And today, we celebrate the sacrifice of the woman who gave us life and those who have cared for us. Because even if no one peels grapes for us, we can always peel grapes for someone else. May it be so, and amen. for our life. Giver of all, we thank thee. Our worship has ended, our service begins. Go forth from this place in peace to be a blessing to the world. Amen.